Establish acceptable analysis and documentation of workplace hazards. Safety culture can be primarily referred to as how things get done in your workplace. Changing the culture of safety in an organization can be difficult and not a simple task. Steps must be implemented to change the attitudes, behaviors, and standards of the employees of the organization. Commitment and communication. Both are critical aspects of a successful and positive workplace safety culture. Compliance is an essential component that requires senior management of an organization to adhere to safe operations. Offer senior management tangible benefits that can see a return on their investment. Approach it with clear and achievable goals. You want to commit to ensuring that no harm occurs in all operations, and a promise that everything will be done for all employees and contractors. Communicate to transition to safer workplace culture. Real-world examples of the consequences of a poor safety culture often attract the attention of some. Quickly making your company's safety policy available to your employees can help implement expectations and best practices for completing safe work. Be an idol. If management is willing to commit to safety, employees will do the same. Implementing an immediate accountability process can help spread a positive safety culture. Having people responsible for health and safety procedures can help with accountability and promote leadership by example. Organizations with strong safety cultures understand that emergencies and accidents can happen at any time and have robust systems in place to deal with them promptly. Develop and implement a positive reporting process. One way to promote this is to establish a rating system by rewarding employees who report safety risks or concerns. Facilitating employee engagement in the process of good discovery or reporting of near misses can prevent critical accidents. Companies with strong safety cultures are open to change and are always looking for the best way to ensure safety is managed most efficiently. Provide training. Training should begin immediately when the employee joins and is on board, during refresher training and skills update. Trained employees also adopt a safety culture more quickly because they know the risks and impact of maintaining safety. Providing training by supervisors places a strong emphasis on leadership, initiative, and out-of-the-box thinking. You must ensure that supervisors have the ideal leadership traits to train their employees and maintain correct safety behavior. Employee engagement. Strong support for employees by involving them in the safety and security process. Setting up a safety committee with employees from all areas of your organization can ensure that different opinions and issues are brought up. Some of the more established committees decide how and where health and safety budgets need to be spent. The contribution of individuals is noted, and action items are set for individuals within the committee itself to follow. Don't blame the employees. It is easy to blame it on employees based on the commission's findings, and this is a big problem because, during accidents, they can inherit certain traits that make them more prone to accidents. Therefore, the only way to correct the problem was to observe and change the behavior of the workers. There are three common explanations for why the behavior-only approach should not be used. 1. Direct blame or liability for accidents and accidents. When a program places the goal directly on employees and their actions, you lose sight of external factors. With a 100% focus on the bottom-line actions of employees, external factors such as safety program management, engineering controls, communication, and training on best practices may be overlooked. 2. Incentive program. If employees are rewarded for reaching their share of injury rates or accident-free days, they may be discouraged from reporting accidents. Incentive programs should be carefully planned and studied before they are implemented to ensure that they do not prevent employees from taking an active safety role. 3. Anonymous alerts. By using anonymous feedback to other employees, each employee is responsible for reporting unsafe behavior by their peers to management. This can cause conflict, peer pressure among workers, and anxiety that safety issues are not addressed. Therefore, it is essential to encourage employees to report matters without fear of negative consequences, report good behavior, and share ideas to improve workplace safety. Create a safe culture. In creating a safety culture, all levels of management are held in high esteem in terms of how they treat workers daily. The responsibility to encourage a safe culture may begin with management, but it permeates every individual in the company. Thus, each individual has a role in keeping himself and others safe. The practice of anonymous monitoring is essentially being eliminated and replaced with management taking the time to walk around its facilities to monitor and positively promote company values of good and bad incidents. Bonuses and incentives can still apply if given for the right reasons, such as reporting accidents, including near misses. Building a safety culture can consist of assigning a champion to each location who is responsible for understanding what it takes to build a safety culture at their site, including current risks, areas for improvement, and employee training necessary to improve safety practices. Collecting accident reports and conducting accident investigations. Safety management in many organizations. Representation of HR, shift manager, or facility manager, depending on the company's resources. 8 tips for building a culture. Here are some tips to get you started on building a solid safety culture in your organization. Defining safety responsibilities includes policies, objectives, and plans for a safety culture. Share your safety vision. Everyone should be involved in setting goals and objectives for their safety culture. Enforce accountability. Everyone is responsible for their apparent participation, especially managers and supervisors. Provide multiple options. Supervisors take responsibility for their response through the chain of command. Reporting. Educate employees about the importance of reporting injuries, first aid, and near misses. Rebuilding the investigation system. Assessing the accident investigation system to ensure that investigations are conducted effectively. Building trust. When things change in the workplace, building trust helps you work together to see improvements. Celebrate success. Make your efforts public to motivate and update everyone throughout the process. Manage workplace safety inspections and audits. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, an agency of the U.S. government under the Department of Labor, is responsible for ensuring safety at work and a healthy work environment. Occupational health and safety refer to efforts to prevent the physical hazards and hazards of work accidents, which are possible in many workplaces. Occupational health and safety standards are published to require removing, reducing, or altering dangers in work environments. In addition, occupational health and safety programs include measures that help reduce the effects of hazards. By current legal regulations, employers and company management are obligated to provide a safe working environment for all employees. Its job is to prevent work-related injuries, illnesses, and deaths. With the Occupational Safety and Health Act of 1970, Congress created the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to ensure safe and healthy working conditions for working men and women by setting and enforcing standards and providing training, awareness, education, and assistance. The institution is part of the U.S. Department of Labor. Responsible for OSHA is the Assistant Secretary of Labor for Occupational Safety and Health. The OSHA official is accountable to the Secretary of Labor and is a member of the Cabinet of the President of the United States. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration Act covers the following: most employers in the private sector and their workers. Certain employers and public sector workers in the 50 states, territories, and jurisdictions under federal authority. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration Act's definition of the work environment consists mainly of employer premises, including the entire facility. Other locations where employees engage in work-related activities or exist as a condition of their employment. The statute, standards, and regulations specify the requirements of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration law as follows. Our letters of explanation explain these requirements and apply to unavoidable circumstances, but they do not create additional employer obligations. This letter constitutes OSHA's interpretation of the requirements discussed. Note that our enforcement guidelines may be affected by changes to OSHA rules. We update our tips in response to new information. Occupational health and safety is a concept that affects every business. Therefore, a safety management strategy must be prepared and effectively implemented. Occupational health and safety are multidisciplinary practices focused on preventing hazards in work environments and dealing with all aspects of health and safety in the workplace. The concept of occupational health refers to health, safety, and welfare issues in the workplace. Occupational health and safety regulations, standards, and legal programs aim to improve the work environment for employees, colleagues, family members, customers, and other stakeholders. Establish better health and safety standards and good business practices means high morale and peace of mind for employees. OSHA State Plan. State plans are monitored by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA. Therefore, they must be as effective as the Occupational Safety and Health Administration in protecting workers and preventing work-related injuries, illnesses, and deaths. There are currently 22 state plans covering both the private sector, local government workers, and government local. 6 government plans cover only government workers. It should be noted that state plans are workplace safety and health programs approved by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, that are operated by individual states or U.S. territories. Standards and requirements that apply to any work environments and thus compel the employer to comply with those standards and conditions specified by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration sets these standards and requirements based on workplace research. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration determines the input of technical experts, employers, unions, and other stakeholders. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration provides training and tools to educate employers and employees. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is required to explain the procedures, equipment, and training that employers and workers must use to reduce risks and ensure safety measures for employers' workplaces and workers' jobs. Compliance with Occupational Safety and Health Administration requirements. Employers must take several specific actions, which include: inspect the workplace for potential hazards. Eliminate or reduce risks. Keeping records of injuries and illnesses in the workplace. Training employees to recognize safety and health risks. Educate employees on precautions to prevent accidents. Following rules, such as complying with all applicable OSHA standards, following OSHA safety regulations, wearing required protective equipment, reporting hazardous conditions, and reporting work-related injuries and illnesses. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration guarantees employees a set of rights. These rights include the following: right to obtain copies of Occupational Safety and Health Administration regulations, the right to request information about workplace hazards, precautions, and procedures, the right to request OHS inspections if employees believe there are dangerous conditions or violations in their workplace, the right to refuse to risk death or serious bodily harm. OSHA and federal laws protect workers who complain or report potential abuse to employers, OSHA, or other agencies against retaliation. For example, employers are prohibited from taking adverse personal action against a whistleblower. Investigate, analyze, and document workplace accidents and perform root cause analysis. Who is the safety manager? A safety manager is a qualified and competent employee responsible for the preparation, implementation, and continuous improvement of the safety management system within an organization. The main job of the safety manager is to ensure a safe workplace by planning and implementing safety practices through preventive measures and training and educating employees as required by local law, compliance, and industry best practices. In addition, this individual is generally responsible for the following: spreading safety awareness among employees, arranges and coordinates safety drills and exercises, suggest department heads on safety issues and corrective actions to be taken, ensures that safety is a priority over all operations, investigating and reporting accidents and near misses, follow up on post-injury procedures, safety meeting organizer, assists safety inspections and audits, manage all aspects of SMS including providing safety advice to senior management, effective SMS monitoring and control, suggest corrective actions and improvements, production of safety reports, prepare and update safety-related documents and records. They should also have a working knowledge of OSHA and other local or federal safety standards, environmental safety standards, occupational and emergency safety procedures, construction safety standards, labor laws and the environment, other safety issues. The most influential people managing safety and health in the industry understand that a safety program is more than writing the rules and training employees to follow them. The following is presented as an introduction to some good points that can make you more effective in managing safety and security, which are as follows. Praise employees who apply safe behaviors. Studies show that positive reinforcement for good behavior is often more effective than punishing destructive behavior in directing the future behavior of employees. This motivational effort is an essential part of behavior modification, which can help employees see safety as a core value. Ask for participation from the staff. Listen when people make suggestions, concerns, or complaints. Their recommendations may be better than yours. Would you pay special attention to employee complaints and respond quickly and appropriately to all of them? After you have had the opportunity to assess the problem, you can talk to the employee and explain why no action is needed. Employee participation bonus. It is usually not part of the job description or their area of expertise. Still, they feel they are helping fellow workers, perhaps saving someone from disability or death, when involved in safety and health matters. Ensure you encourage them by acknowledging their value to employee safety and health and letting them know that you appreciate their help. Be a shining example. Always follow all religious rules and procedures if you want others to do so. You can bet that your behaviors and actions are taken into account most of the time. So feel free to comply with the rules, such as wearing protective clothing and any other personal protective equipment required at the facility for yourself and any visitor who may accompany you to the factory. Invest in people. Your investment in employees will build your reputation among employees more effectively and positively than anything else you can do. Discuss several possible solutions. Next, invest in the employee by getting close to them, helping them, and lending them books and attention. The employee can hardly believe that a member of management has shown a personal interest in the employee's comfort. Continuously improve and simplify plant safety. Eliminating risks makes it easier for new people to stay safe. This may seem obvious, but it is not routinely practiced in every company. You need to ensure that the training required by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, is always up to date for the organization. Visit work sites regularly. Walk around at least one factory area each day to let employees see that you are there for them and allow them to give you feedback and suggestions. Most production staff would rather talk in person than call you on the phone, so being there establishes a line of communication. Keep yourself open. Be sure to tell employees as much as possible about what you are doing when monitoring, testing alarms, bringing in visitors, and changing safety equipment or procedures. To keep employees informed and stay abreast of the pros and cons, break down barriers between you and your employees. There is always an invisible class barrier between management and production workers. You can break this barrier by getting close to the workers. Almost everyone likes to be identified by name. Helps remove communication barriers. Lunch regularly with production workers. Try to learn something new at least once every day. Safety and health professionals with professional certifications must take continuing education modules to maintain their certification. This helps keep these professionals constantly updated about safety and health issues. Develop your resources. A practical security person will do well if he has connections within other companies' production and management personnel ranks. Create and manage a successful safety culture using the latest behavior modification techniques. We all know how stressful it can be when starting a new job or even a unique role in your current workplace. That's why there are some practical ways to train employees and teach them about workflow. Many methods and materials have the most effective training techniques available to help you prepare and equip employees to perform their jobs better. In fact, with so many options, it cannot be easy to decide which methods to use and when to use them. How to choose the appropriate training methods in the workplace. While it may seem incredible to have so many options available, choosing the proper training methods for employees is an important decision. It doesn't matter how much money you invest in training if the training is wrong. Here are three questions to determine the most effective employee training methods for your training program. 1. First, what is the purpose of the training program? When new or existing skills need to be developed, interactive training and e-learning are often most effective. Social learning techniques can also be successful when these skills are soft skills rather than technical skills. New knowledge can be gained through simple reading, written notes, diagrams, or even a seminar. 2. Who is the target audience? Training is most effective when the target audience understands and believes in the benefits of the training program. So, the most effective method of training makes the learner the champion. Factors to consider include demographics. Social learning methods may be more effective in cultures where shared values and community are prioritized over individual or competitive goals. Additionally, online training is most effective when employees are geographically dispersed. Nature of the job. When jobs are relatively simple, they often require basic knowledge and skills to learn with little practice. However, the best training techniques for complex technical jobs require active participation, such as interactive training methods. Seniority level. Senior roles often share some similar characteristics. These employees need soft skills such as leadership and emotional intelligence. However, they are also busy, and the learning and development goals are unique. This means that they may need a combination of training methods to achieve their educational goals. Individual learning versus group learning. When multiple employees acquire the same knowledge or skills, classroom training sessions, social learning techniques, and e-learning can be more effective and efficient. 3. What are the obstacles? Training faces many obstacles, some of which include: training is rarely free. It requires an investment of money, time, and other resources. Stick to quick and convenient training methods. For example, a one-day classroom-based workshop might do the job. When budgets are tight, the best training methods tend to take advantage of the knowledge and experience of existing employees and avoid the need for an external subject matter expert or coordinator. There are some effective ways to deliver training to employees. Case study. The case study is a proven method of training that is known to promote learner motivation effectively. This method is suitable for trainees who have basic knowledge but can still benefit from training. Coming at a lower cost, It is also one of the most popular methods in various disciplines. Game-based training. Games in education are affordable, competitive, and motivating, especially in the digital age, where many applicants and employees are highly involved in technology. But this method cannot identify the components in the game that will contribute to the training itself. Internship. Employers can benefit from employee assistance, and employees can benefit from employer coaching and coaching. However, in some cases, job rotation. This method gives people opportunities for further development and works for promotion, generating satisfaction and cooperation. However, it is also a method that requires a lot of time and space for error. Job shadowing generates employee engagement and interest. Interns get a chance to see their work from another perspective, which is ideal for those considering a promotion or role change. Lecture. Lectures are often intimidating, but they are the most common training technique. There is usually a lack of interaction, but it can be the way to go with the right speaker and simple lectures. Mentorship and apprenticeship. This is one of the best training routes as the trainees can benefit from this personalized learning structure, strengthening the mentor-trainee relationship and facilitating their future careers. Programmed education. Programming does not work without self-discipline, so it is most effective in cases where some departure from the program does not harm the company's success. However, this is an effective and flexible practice. Role modeling. This is the counterpart to the lecture training method, which promotes practice on lifelike models. It is often used when employees need some practice after watching a lecture or demonstration. Role play. Trainees can practice what they have learned in a personal and simulated situation. Of course, they can still fail, but there will be no severe consequences with good content and safe role-playing. Driver qualifications. Business owners who do not consider allowing employees to operate dangerous machinery without established safety procedures and policies often do not have strict policies governing the use of business vehicles. You should understand your responsibility for employees' use of your vehicle and do everything within your power to reduce the burden of that responsibility on you. You can do many things to reduce the risks associated with employees driving your car. But first, learn about some of the common ways you or your business may be responsible for an accident, along with ways to reduce risk. Vehicle liability arguments. In the event of an accident, a victim's attorney presents one or more of the following arguments for holding you liable: employment or retention due to negligence, car loan due to negligence, car maintenance due to negligence. One of the risks of employees using vehicles to perform work on your behalf is likely to be the supreme responsibility. Unlike some other duties of employees using your car, you face a more significant burden even if your employees have accidents while driving their vehicles. In addition, you'll find that outstanding liability can come into play after an unfortunate incident, not just car accidents, where the employee causes damage to another person or someone else's property. If your employee was at fault in an accident and was doing work for you at the time of the accident/incident, you may be liable for damages arising from the accident. In most states, employers will be liable for the wrongful acts of their employees if such actions are committed within the scope of employment. Employer's defense against superior liability. The defense of a respondent employer's claim typically includes one of the following options: evidence that the employee made a willful error that makes it unlikely that he was acting within the scope of employment. So be careful about relying too much on this type of defense. Demonstrate that the employer has a policy that prohibits employees from doing everything that results in an accident. This defense usually works better, but it has some obvious limitations. You can't get away from setting a policy against something after it has happened. A policy that restricts or prohibits personal use of your vehicles may be helpful. For example, if an employee falls from the back chair while drunk, off-duty employees may be more likely to drink. Or they may try to do something with the car that the car was not intended to do. Rely on reasonable car insurance to cover damages resulting from accidents and mishaps. The right insurance coverage can go a long way to preventing a devastating financial loss. Negligent leasing, retention, and lending of vehicle claims. Suppose it relates to a car accident involving one of your employees and the company car. In that case, you are responsible for the accident because of the poor job you did in the hiring or failure to fire the employee who then caused the accident. Unlike some other liabilities arising from an employee's use of your vehicle, you can be sued under the negligent hiring/retention theory for any mishap involving an employee, not just vehicle accidents. So, what are some effective defenses to claims of employment or retention of negligence? Usually, the best defense of the employment/retention negligent argument is to prove one of the following: that there was nothing wrong with your employee. That you have no way of knowing that something is wrong with your employee. If you are considering hiring an employee, be very careful in the hiring and hiring process. Do a thorough background check and avoid negligent hiring. If you already have employees, deal with any perceived problems immediately by disciplining or terminating any employees who have a problem as necessary. Trust the monitoring of your employees and do regular performance reviews. Lending due to negligent use of the car. In negligent lending situations, you are liable because you let an employee use a company vehicle when you learned the employee was unfit to drive. Defense to reduce your liability for negligent lending claims, you can get adequate insurance on all your vehicles. Ensure that any employee who uses your vehicles has all the required licenses and permits to operate the vehicles they use. Develop and implement vehicle policies that alert you when an employee is unfit to drive. Be careful about what you hear from employees about accidents unless you are prepared to have someone drive in their place. Do not allow an employee to drive after that employee has specifically told you that they are unfit to drive. Neglected vehicle maintenance. Unlike some of the other obligations resulting from employee use of your vehicle that we discuss, you can be sued by both your employee and anyone who hits your vehicle if it is negligently maintained. An attorney suing you for negligence will usually argue the case in one of two ways: negligence per se versus ordinary negligence. Neglect per se. If the facts fit here, the most straightforward argument for a lawyer is to show that the vehicle's condition made it illegal to drive at the time. Ordinary neglect. Even if your vehicle is not in a condition to make it illegal to drive, it could result in a normal maintenance claim due to negligence. The attorney must usually show all of the following: if a condition in the vehicle is detected and repaired that makes the vehicle less safe to drive. You and your agents have not repaired any specific damage or damage that you have learned to the vehicle. You may be in more trouble if you know there is damage and do nothing about it unless you don't know where the damage is. The damage contributed to an accident. The accident contributed to the bodily or property injury of the person who brought the case against you. Reduce the likelihood of successful claims. The quality of your vehicle is the focus of these claims. Thus, taking steps to ensure that your vehicles are adequately maintained and documenting your acceptance of those steps is usually your best defense. Here are some things that can help you protect yourself. Get and maintain proper insurance on all of your vehicles. Establish vehicle policies that instruct employees to report any problems with your vehicles immediately and instruct them not to drive any vehicles in an illegal or demonstrably unsafe condition. Make sure to do something about the reported issues as soon as possible. Perform regular maintenance and safety checks on your vehicles. Keep a file of papers documenting the fact that you have done these checks. Suggestions for formulating vehicle policies. Drafting a vehicle policy is the best way to establish rules regarding employee use and delivery of vehicles. Here are some suggestions for crafting vehicle policies that meet your needs. Be restrained but practical about using your vehicles. The less your employees use your car for personal use, the better. Use solid but positive language. For example, when drafting a vehicle policy, it is usually helpful to indicate what might happen to employees who violate the policy. Vehicle safety. Company's vehicle policy. The company vehicle policy, or company vehicle use agreement, specifies which employees are eligible for a company fleet vehicle and the eligibility requirements for a company vehicle, the basic rules that employees must follow when using company vehicles, and the consequences of misuse of vehicles. Driver policy overview. The company gives instructions for employees to obtain, qualify, and use a company vehicle. Company vehicle qualification. Employees may qualify for a company vehicle if they drive company-specified long miles for business, commute to work, or an added benefit. And when you need a car, contact Human Resources. Employees must complete a form and submit a copy of their valid driver's license and clean driving record, no accident errors or traffic law violations, for a specified number of years specified by the company to qualify for the company vehicle. Company vehicles for employees with special needs. The company shall provide reasonable accommodations to facilitate the use of company vehicles for eligible employees with disabilities. Personal use. The company determines whether or not to allow personal use of its vehicles while applying all work safety rules when using its vehicle for personal purposes. Company driver rules. Comply with state traffic laws, document driving expenses, monitor vehicle indicators, report any damage or problems, report any changes to a driver's license, lock car locks, meet maintenance schedules, follow driving laws, not smoking in the car, not renting or selling the vehicle. Unauthorized drivers are not allowed to use a company vehicle unless required by an emergency. Violations of company vehicle rules include verbal and written warnings, suspension of vehicle privileges, termination, and legal action. Accident procedures. In the event of an accident, contact the Human Resources Department immediately. Share information with other drivers and report the accident to the local police if necessary. Do not take responsibility for the accident without the permission of the company. Company responsibilities. The company ensures the safety of vehicles, schedules their maintenance and insurance, and replaces cars or leaves them out of service. Out of company responsibility. The company is not responsible for driving violations or paying bail to employees arrested while driving cars from the company's fleet. Vehicle safety program. Policy, company name, is committed to establishing and maintaining a vehicle safety program. Take appropriate steps to prevent loss of life, injury, or property damage to all employees and members of the public. Responsibilities. 1. Management. Management has some responsibilities, such as driving records of employees while on the job, checking employees' compliance with specified requirements and policies, reviewing decisions related to accidents and working to prevent them. Develop procedures for disciplinary actions and adhere to them by company policy maintaining all vehicles for safe operation. Carry out periodic inspections of assigned vehicles. Full support for your driver training program. Seat belts are required to be worn on all flights. 2. Supervisors. Supervisors also have a role of responsibility, such as ensuring that drivers have valid licenses before driving company vehicles. Monitor unsafe practices of employees. Review accidents and prevent their recurrence. Ride periodically with drivers of vehicles and trucks to check compliance with operating instructions and traffic regulations. And make sure not to drive unsafe vehicles. 3. Staff. Employees who drive company vehicles are also responsible for following all instructions outlined in the Fleet Safety Program. It includes safe operation, passenger and cargo safety, valid driver's license, vehicle inspection before driving, and prompt reporting of accidents. 4. Safety/Loss Control Officer. The safety/loss control officer will be responsible for implementing the fleet safety program policies. Responsibilities include monitoring employees' driving experience, ensure that maintenance procedures are followed, verify that adequate insurance limits are maintained. 5. Car operator responsibilities. The driver is responsible for checking the safety and general condition of the vehicle. Not to use any vehicle for a purpose other than for which it was intended. For unauthorized staff riding or additional numbers than specified by the company. Put on a safety belt compliance with traffic laws. Not to use vehicles by unauthorized persons. Parking illegally, and in case of malfunctions, use phosphorus warning signs on the road. Staff are obligated to lock cars and remove keys. The cost of accidents caused by the driver, as the company will not be responsible for accident repairs. Use caution when transporting equipment that may become flying projectiles in the event of an accident, putting laptops, gadgets, etc., in the trunk of passenger cars. Driver selection. Knowing the driver's ability, experience, and behavior is a critical factor in the selection process. Accordingly, the company implemented the following driver qualification procedures. The driver's age should not be more minor than the age specified by the company, and all applicants' drivers must complete the employment application and the driving position supplement that contains all the required information for jobs that require leadership. Inclusion of all previous employers in past years. The driver will receive a license in the company's name. The permit will be reviewed for validity. The employees will notify their supervisor if their license is suspended, revoked, or expired. In addition, the driver is subject to medical examinations. A formal driver's MVR check and review will be conducted annually to ensure that current drivers meet applicable qualification criteria. MVR is personal and confidential, and should only be discussed with the driver or other persons authorized to know it. The safety/loss control officer will receive the results of the MVR examination, and any corrective action required will be applied immediately. Driver qualification standards to ensure that new and existing drivers meet the vehicle records outlined in the Commercial Vehicle Safety Program. The following policies have been established by the MVR screening and assessment and penalties for drivers involved in preventable accidents. This is calculated through a point system set by the company, and if the driver exceeds the specified points, he will not be allowed to drive again. The company communicates with previous employers to ascertain the dates of employment, the type of work performed, the vehicle used, experience, accident history, general work history, and performance. If a previous or current employer refuses to disclose the information, a note stating this will be placed on file. All applicants who will need a CDL license for their driving position must complete a pre-employment road test. Note: the road test may be waived if the employee only drives cars and vans and has a clean driving record. A driver qualification profile includes a job application, interview notes, MVR screening, driver training information, driver evaluations, and performance reviews. Driver training and reviews. Driver training and reviews aims to hire only qualified and safe drivers. Once joined, the company is committed to maintaining well-trained and well-informed drivers and supervisors, including driver orientation, periodic driver meetings, and driver performance assessments and reviews. Designate a driver training program that they must pass, covering various topics, such as driving policies and procedures, regulatory compliance, vehicle maintenance and inspections, accident reporting procedures, and defensive driving procedures. The new driver is introduced to vehicle maintenance and inspections paperwork and answers any questions or concerns not addressed in classroom training. A driver meeting is held with supervisors to share news and information. All drivers must participate in these meetings, and all input from drivers is welcomed and appreciated. Driver evaluation and performance reviews. Driver supervisors are responsible for conducting periodic and structured performance reviews. Their performance will be evaluated on an ongoing basis and may request a review at any time, or their supervisor may recommend it. The supervisor conducts on-road performance assessment on-the-road assessment to monitor the performance of existing drivers by riding with them or following them. Driver performance reviews should be conducted privately and away from the operating area. Accident investigation. It is the company's policy to investigate any accident involving its personnel and vehicles thoroughly. All accidents, regardless of severity, must be reported. Investigating minor accidents only is the responsibility of the driver and supervisor. The safety/loss control officer will be responsible for investigating severe property damage or the death of an employee of company name. He is also responsible for investigations into accidents involving a third party. In addition, the department may initiate any other investigations deemed appropriate. 1. The accident investigator will carefully survey the scene, noting the location of any debris from the accident. Then, take photos of the accident and map the site according to the scale. 2. Have responsibilities to the driver at the scene of the accident. Two main concerns at the scene of an accident are dealing with immediate problems, collecting relevant information about the accident, and reporting it promptly. What a driver should do in the event of an accident. Stop, keep calm. Turn on your emergency flashers as an instant warning signal. Then do a quick assessment of accident victims, if any, and help. Next, put emergency warning devices on the road. Either contact local law enforcement and your supervisor yourself, or arrange to have someone do it for you. Be polite and helpful when providing information to authorities. Never admit guilt or responsibility at the scene of an accident. Never leave the accident scene. Write down the names, license numbers, and other information about the accident and the people involved. Next, draw a simple diagram of the scene. The more details you can provide, the better for insurance and/or legal purposes later. If you have a camera to use, document the situation with pictures from different angles. After securing the vehicle, placing warning devices, assisting in injured persons, if any, and contacting law enforcement personnel, you, the driver, must report the incident to your supervisor. Complete the vehicle accident reporting form at the scene of the accident. Vehicle accident review. The Safety/Loss Control Committee will review all vehicle accidents to determine the actual cause and whether or not they can be prevented. The tasks of the committee in reviewing vehicle collision accidents are as follows. Meet as soon as possible after a collision to consider the evidence presented objectively. Determine the actual cause of the collision and whether or not it can be prevented. Review the driver's previous driving record. Submit a written report to management with the results of the committee and recommendations for corrective actions. Schedule a personal meeting with the driver to discuss the decision and/or possible remedial training and/or possible disciplinary action. Vehicle selection. It is necessary to ensure that the vehicles selected for a particular function are sufficient in design and capability for the intended purpose. It is the responsibility of each driver to choose the right vehicle to be used in performing the tasks. Vehicle maintenance. The company's policy is to keep all vehicles in good condition and safe and efficient operating conditions at all times. A good preventative maintenance program reduces repair frequency and reduces overall maintenance costs. 1. Vehicle inspections. All vehicles must be inspected every day they are operated. 2. Checking the driver before the trip. The driver must make sure that his car is operating appropriately before starting. The driver will also review the latest vehicle inspection report in the vehicle's maintenance file. 3. Vehicle maintenance file. A complete record will be kept for each vehicle. It will include basic information about the vehicle. The responsibilities of a vehicle crash driver when a malfunction occurs include stopping and securing the vehicle and carrying it safely. Set alarms safely. Diagnose and recall the division of supervisor responsibilities when a study occurs, including determining the nature of the study and the action. Locate, contact, and dispatch the seller to facilitate repairs. Get all vehicle repair records. MVR check and point system. A copy of all records will be kept in the personnel file, along with any corrective action documents. Automatic driver exclusion. No new or potential existing employee will be allowed to drive a corporate vehicle, including a personal vehicle, if their MVR discloses murder or motorized assault, vehicle theft, hit and run negligent homicide, an alcohol-related offense in the past 3 years, the crime of illegal drugs in the past 3 years. 7 fine points. DWI, DUI, and OWI, alcohol or drugs, reckless driving that results in bodily injury or property damage. Police officer fleeing. Leaving the scene of the accident. Driving with a suspended/revoked license. Racing on the public road. 4 fine points. Speeding over 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. Not stopping for the school bus. Not stopping at a railway intersection. The second preventable accident. 3 fine points. Not obeying the traffic controller. No waiver of the right of way. Speed is too high for the conditions follow up too close. Reckless driving. 1 preventable accident. 1 point offenses. Seat belt violations. Not using the turn signal. Improper stop/parking. Defensive driving policy. The company is firmly committed to a sound and complete defensive leadership policy. While operating vehicles, drivers must always drive in the safest manner possible by all commercial vehicle safety program provisions. Employees are required to attend a defensive driving course. The employee's supervisor must ensure that class quotas are met and that satisfactory work schedules are maintained. The frequency of employee attendance of defensive driving courses is once a year. New employees must be required to complete the defensive driving course before commencing employment satisfactorily. The basic concepts of defensive leadership are: recognize the danger, understand defense, act promptly. Defensive driving procedures. Entering and descending turns without an accident is a sign of an excellent defensive driver. If you provide guided support, the ultimate responsibility for the safety of the supported maneuver will remain with you as the driver. The primary method for avoiding frontal collisions is to maintain a safe and sufficient following distance. You run the risk of rear-end collisions if you do not maintain a sufficient margin of safety over your tracking distance. Avoid the trap of incorporating traffic with a bit of planning and preparation for success. Blind spots are not valid excuses for this type of accident. Driving through railroad crossings or in areas where rail vehicles of some kind are given special care. Close monitoring of the traffic situation is your best defense. Avoid collision with an oncoming vehicle at all costs. An accident can be avoided with some evasive maneuvers. You should be aware of the other vehicles in your path and the complete configuration of the turn you are about to make. Always assume that if a pedestrian or a small vehicle of some kind is involved in a situation, slowing down is your best defense. Bad weather and other road hazards put a particular strain on any defensive driver. Therefore, the best rule of thumb is to get off the road safely and as quickly as possible in any bad weather or rough road condition. Fog. Drivers should avoid driving in foggy conditions. Instead, park your vehicle safely until the fog has cleared, if possible. Rain causes roads to become slippery, especially when they first start. Therefore, slowing down is the best and safest way to avoid aquaplaning. Rain also reduces visibility because rain presents these risks. Snow can present a variety of hazardous conditions. All drivers should be aware of changes in the road surface condition that may affect vehicle traction. Night driving. All drivers should be aware of the potential dangers of driving at night. These risks include fatigue, decreased vision, poor lighting, other motorists, and animals on the road. Fatigue. All drivers should review the following warning signs of fatigue. Your eyes close, or they go out of focus on their own. You can't stop yawning. You are having trouble keeping your head up. You suffer from short-term memory loss. For example, you can't remember the last several miles you drove. Your thoughts wander, or you start daydreaming. You start drifting into other lanes of traffic, the back door, or you miss traffic lights. Facing the inability to maintain a constant rate of speed. You must turn the steering wheel hard to correct the drift and return to your lane. If you experience any of these signs, it's time to get out of the way ASAP and get some rest. Other night driving hazards. Low visibility is a danger to driving at night. At night, visual acuity, degree of perception, and peripheral vision, side vision, decrease. Poor lighting on an open highway or country road is another hazard that drivers should be aware of. Drunk drivers are a danger to everyone on the road. Therefore, drivers should be cautious when driving between midnight and 3 a.m. Typical pub and pub closing times. Animals on the road pose another type of danger while driving at night. Drivers should be especially vigilant when driving on roads lined with woods or tall grass. Logbooks. Long-distance commercial vehicles must have electronic loggers, ELDs, installed that record the truck driver's driving time on the job, according to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, FMCSA. Follow Ministry of Transportation regulations. The Department of Transportation, DOT, sets strict rules for the registry. For example, the 2018 DOT record book rules state that long-distance truck drivers, they work 14 hours straight, but not more than 11 hours behind the wheel of their commercial vehicle. The remaining 10 hours of the 24-hour day must be off-duty. Overtime at another job is not acceptable for truck drivers to take their time off work because they need rest just like everyone else. 30-minute breaks are required every 8 hours. Thus, truck drivers can work up to 60 hours over 7 days or 70 hours spread over 8 days. Safety first. If you have a strong work ethic, you may be tempted to push yourself beyond a 14-hour workday. However, your life is more important than the express delivery of your shipments. So use 10 hours of break time to rest. Honest reporting of on-the-job driving time can help reduce truck accidents that claim more than 4,000 lives, including 600 truck drivers, each year. Truckers Alliance also notes that since ELDs became law, citations from HOS have decreased by 46%. Learn about legal penalties. Hiding your HOS can get you in big trouble. Turning off your ELD or attempting another hit of the electronic recording system will result in you being expelled or fined. Wait, inspectors ask to see your HOS at highway stations. If something is wrong, you face severe legal consequences. You are fined up to $14,700 for each violation by the Federal Motor Vehicle Carrier Safety Administration. State and local fines are assessed as well. Or you may be banned from driving for a particular time. Companies that press or allow truck drivers to violate DOT regulations are subject to federal criminal prosecution. Keep an assignment status record. Your HOS is part of your RODS that must be constantly updated and easily accessible to inspectors upon request. Truck records must be counted every 24 hours. A receipt or other types of available documentation should also be kept. Driver selection. If you're a good driver, can work independently, and don't want an 8-to-5 office job, you might consider a road trucking job as a truck driver. Truck driving requires overnight stays and sometimes weeks of travel at a time, but it can pay well and doesn't require a college degree. Truck driver job description. The driver's journey begins with loading the cargo into the trailer, which may involve lifting heavy items and packing the shipment to avoid shifts during transportation. Next, truck drivers typically sleep at the truck dock, often at the truck stop where drivers can also eat, shower, and refuel. Truck drivers must take a 30-minute break after 8 hours and may not last more than 11 hours. A driver's total time on duty, including loading, registration hours, and other paperwork, cannot exceed 14 hours. Drivers must then have 10 hours of rest, including spending 7 to 8 hours in a sleeping bed. Drivers cannot work more than 60 hours over 7 days or 70 hours over 8 days. They should take a 34-hour break every 7 or 8 days. Educational requirements for a trucking job. Truck drivers typically attend a 3 to 6-month truck driving course at a community college or private truck driving school. Students learn the driving skills and laws needed to obtain a commercial driver's license from their state. Requirements vary across states, but most require drivers to be 18 years old and to pass written and practical exams. Most trucking companies require you to have a high school diploma and a commercial driver's license. Drug and alcohol policies. A drug and alcohol policy should define the rules and procedures for dealing with drug and alcohol-related issues. In some companies, this will need to include employee training details and the correct procedures for handling incidents and dealing with colleagues. In addition, the policy should be consistent with other areas of employee guidelines. Having a clear drug and alcohol policy can help managers and employees deal with any issues. It will also help you fulfill your legal responsibilities to ensure all employees' health, safety, and well-being. These policies include the following points. 1. Employees. This policy applies to all employees. 2. Contractors. All contractors shall have or are encouraged to implement their policy that meets or exceeds the standards set out in this policy. 3. Responsibility. All employees are required to perform their job safely and in strict compliance with all applicable rules, policies, and procedures. 4. Communication. Communicating this policy to all employees is critical to our success. 5. Standards. All employees are required to adhere to the following criteria. Alcohol. The following are strictly prohibited: consuming or being under the influence of alcohol, and possessing, distributing, offering, or selling alcohol. On an exceptional basis, alcoholic beverages may be served at work-sponsored events or while conducting business with the explicit approval of management. Employees who are permitted to consume alcoholic beverages on such occasions are required to exercise moderation and good judgment and shall not operate a motor vehicle or equipment with a BAC above the legal standard. Drugs. The following are strictly prohibited: consuming or being under the influence of drugs, and possessing, distributing, offering, or selling drugs or drug paraphernalia. Medication and improper use of medication. 6. Employee requirements. Employees must comply with the following requirements: report fit for duty and remain fit for duty while at work. Employees must remain fit for duty to respond to a call and be in compliance with this policy when they are on call duty. If an employee is unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol and is contacted by the work to perform unscheduled services, the employee must decline the work request by on-call policy. 7. Safety-sensitive positions. Any employee in a safety-sensitive position taking a medication of concern will not be permitted to perform safety-sensitive related duties for so long as such employee is taking such medication of concern. 8. Investigation procedures. Employees. Performance management. Employees with performance problems will be reminded to access assistance if a personal problem affects their job performance. Unfit for duty, when there are reasonable grounds to believe that an employee is unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol, the employee will be escorted to a safe place and allowed to explain why they appear to be unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Contractors. Performance management. Contractors with performance problems should access assistance through their employer if a personal problem affects their job performance. Unfit for duty. When there are reasonable grounds to believe that a contractor is unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol, the contractor will be removed from the worksite and escorted to a safe place. The contractor or the contractor's employer will be informed that the contractor is unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and a request for testing by the contractor's drug and alcohol policy or program, or testing under this policy if applicable, will be made. 9. Testing. Employees may be required to undergo testing in the following circumstances. Pre-employment. All individuals applying for a safety-sensitive position must successfully pass a test before commencing employment with the work. Post-significant incident or near miss, the decision to refer an employee for a test will be made by the supervisor or manager investigating the incident after appropriate consultation. The reasons for testing will be documented as soon as possible. Reasonable cause. Testing will be required where there are reasonable grounds to believe, based on specific and personal observation, that the actions, appearance, or conduct of an employee while on duty are indicative of being unfit for duty or under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Post-violation, employees will be required to pass a test before returning to work and may be subject to random and unannounced follow-up testing as a condition of continued employment. Post-treatment, an employee who returns to work following a violation of this policy or following treatment for drug, alcohol, or medication dependency may be subject to random and unannounced follow-up testing as a condition of continued employment. Testing. Generally, qualified personnel will conduct testing and a suitable laboratory will analyze the results. All health assessment information, including all testing information, will be maintained in separate, confidential records away from the employee's personnel file. Benefits. Drug and alcohol abuse policies have many benefits for the company and employees. Benefits of drug and alcohol abuse policies include: employees have clear guidelines about what they can and cannot do. Employees know what support is available, as well as the disciplinary measures that apply. Managers have clear guidelines about the procedures they must follow. Policies raise awareness. They can encourage individuals to take action to correct any problems they have. By reducing problems, you can reduce sickness and employee turnover and increase productivity. You reduce the risk of your employees driving or operating dangerous equipment while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The policies help you fulfill your legal responsibilities related to the health, safety, and welfare of employees. Company safety policies. If your business employs 5 or more people, including board members and part-time workers, it is a legal requirement to have a health and safety policy. Occupational health and safety legislation in all countries requires employers to have a risk management program in their workplace. A written occupational health and safety policy helps promote these programs. This policy must reflect the needs of your field. It must also be reviewed and updated on an ongoing basis. The policy is signed by the general manager or the chairman of the board of directors to show commitment to health, safety, and the environment, HSE. It would help if you wrote this policy to inform people and customers about how you intend to deal with risks and health and safety issues related to your business that affect how industrial or service companies are carried out, demonstrating your commitment to health and safety and identifying who has responsibilities within the business areas. What should you do? First and foremost, the health and safety policy document should not be complicated and lengthy, as its length does not make it a good document. Thus, small commercial and industrial businesses need to identify only one person to have the responsibility to carry out the following tasks. 1. The process of assessing risks in the workplace. 2. Preparing a plan or method for collecting data. 3. Stop any work that endangers the safety of people. 4. Assign a technician to check the integrity of the equipment being used. Then write what are the tasks and duties towards this responsibility, as I like to make it clear that it is not necessary to appoint new people to do this task, but to assign the task to me, for example, the project engineer, the engineer's assistant, or a maintenance technician. What should the health, safety, and environment policy include? There are many differences in the form and content of corporate policies, yet their style is no less important than the clarity with which job responsibilities are defined. Most companies have a policy statement, and it may be called a statement of general intent. Below is an explanation of how you will manage aspects of occupational health and safety and maintain a clean environment in your work, and how you will tell the general public what are your safety goals, and how you will be committed to implementing this policy to ensure the safety of employees, contractors, and the general public. Your annual review has a minimum of once. The company is committed to striving for zero harm to provide a healthy and safe workplace. The company ensures that it meets all its obligations and is proactive in adopting the following principles. The company ensures health and safety as one of the first items on the agenda and the first item in the monthly management report. The company's decision-making processes include all health and safety considerations. For example, the company provides resources, equipment, and adequate training for employees related to health and safety. The company also implements systems and standards, including a comprehensive risk register, to enable all activities to be carried out safely and hygienically. The company also sets measurable health, safety, and quality goals and objectives to comply with applicable legislation and regulations. The company incorporates health and safety protocols into its progression as it assesses all activities' health and safety impacts. The company takes proactive corrective/preventive actions to mitigate accidents before they occur, identifying and reporting places of danger and accidents. The company monitors health and safety performance as per company requirements to allow contractors to operate safely at all times. The company maintains emergency, fire protection, and security systems and facilities to protect people, the environment, and property. The company appoints qualified persons who are aware of health and safety practices. The company adheres to the fundamental principles of operating safely and healthily in a safe and healthy manner to establish effective communication systems to integrate sound health and safety management with business decisions. The company works with the contractor under a contract that complies with all applicable legislation and company policies. The company requires workers to wear appropriate personal protective equipment in the workplace. The company does not allow fighting or rough play in the workplace. The company does not tolerate any theft or vandalism in the workplace. The company does not allow possession or consumption of alcohol or drugs in the workplace. The company does not allow work in case of inadequate safety procedures in the workplace. The company is committed to providing training to its employees and employees to develop their capabilities. The company is committed to training and joining the race to develop itself and catch up with developments. The company provides and maintains safe equipment, structures, healthily in and work systems. The company guarantees the safe use, handling, and secure storage of equipment, shapes, and materials. The company provides facilities suitable for the welfare of workers, example, toilets and tea rooms. The company is obligated to ensure that workers' health and conditions are monitored to prevent illness or injury. The company recommends that workers pay close attention to what they do, or do not do, to affect the health and safety of others adversely. The company recommends workers comply with the instructions given by the management. The company recommends workers not to misuse or interfere with anything that is not within their work to ensure the health and safety of the work. The company recommends that workers regularly consult with management to identify, assess, and monitor risks and the effectiveness of these controls. The company engages its employees while developing policies into a shared commitment to health and safety. The company lists its safety and security instructions according to the nature of its work and how dangerous it is. The company lists any laws of the country established in addition to the occupational health and safety laws and regulations that it needs to comply with. The company includes any measurable security goals to achieve or specific security issues it wants to address as an organization. The company is committed to upholding and signing the health and safety policy at the highest levels. You can include any of these points, noting that priorities vary depending on the type of work you do, and in general, you can add what you want to this statement over time. Like doing first aid drug and alcohol policy, driving vehicles, and so on, and in the end, HSE policy should not be difficult, but should reflect what it does and how it can be managed. Lease agreements. A lease is a contractual agreement between a lessor and a lessee that gives the lessee the right to use an asset for a specified period, usually in exchange for periodic payments. A lease is classified as a finance lease if it substantially transfers all of the risks and rewards of asset ownership. In addition, the United Nations will classify a lease as a finance lease if one or more of the following indicators are met. Ownership is transferred to the lessee at the end of the lease term. The lease contains a bargain purchase option. The lease term is the more significant part, in practice, at least 75%, of the economic life of the asset. The present value of the minimum lease payments amounting to at least 90% of the fair value of the leased asset. The leased assets are of a specialized nature so that only the lessee can use them without major modifications. Another asset that cannot easily replace is the leased asset. An operating lease is a lease other than a finance lease. Policies. No lease or lease of real property may be entered into, including any interest in land, buildings, office space, laboratories, storage facilities, water, natural resources, or mineral rights. Any application to lease, extend, or renew a lease contract for a property must be submitted to the Office of Land and Capital Assets Supervision. Deviations from the stipulated rental provisions require review and approval by specialists as to the legal form. The Office of Land and Capital Assets Supervision ensures all rental real estate properties, referred to as leases. The Office of Land Supervision is also responsible for leasing and leasing lease contracts. The laws, rules, and regulations applicable to the place of rental are followed in all rental activities. All procedures are organized to ensure compliance with these applicable laws, rules, and regulations. Here are the basic terms that must be in every lease agreement. 1. The lease agreement must name the landlords and tenants bound by the contract. 2. The lease agreement must describe the property that the lease agreement controls. 3. The dollar amount should agree on the day the rent is due, where it will be sent, and how it will be accepted. 4. The beginning and end of the lease must be in agreement and describe how and when the contract can be terminated. 5. The amount of the security deposit, how it will be paid, and the terms of its future release must be specified in the rental agreement. 6. The rental agreement must list the names of each person who will regularly occupy the property. 7. The rental agreement must specify whether or not the tenant can own a pet. 8. The condition of the property and responsibilities for repairs and property-related problems should be noted. 9. The lease agreement should describe the changes the tenant might make to the property, if any. 10. The lease must include a clause allowing the landlord to enter and inspect the property with reasonable notice. Real estate lease procedures. Required approvals. The chief financial officer and the president may execute leases of $100,000 per year or less in one fiscal year. The Clemson University Board of Trustees and the State Budget and Oversight must approve all other leases. Rental applications must be submitted to the lessor 6 months before the date the property is needed. Applications submitted less than 6 months in advance will be processed as quickly as possible to ensure sufficient time for all necessary reviews and approvals. Rentals over $100,000 annually. All rental requests must be sent to the landlord using the approved forms found on the official website. The rent request is sent to the Board of Budget and State Control for processing. The final lease agreement is submitted to the prospective landlord or tenant for review. The specialist will review the contracts and agree to any proposed modifications to the standard state lease offered by the Real Estate Services Office. The lease is submitted to the Real Estate Services Office of the Budget and Oversight Board for final signature and authorization. Rentals $100,000 or less per year. All rental requests must be submitted using the approved forms found on the office's website. The rental application will be reviewed to determine if all requirements have been met. The specialist will review and agree to any proposed amendments to the standard tenancy contract provided by the Real Estate Services Office. After review, the lease agreement will be submitted to the relevant finance manager for signature. One original lease contract will be submitted to the Real Estate Services Office of the State Board of Budget and Supervision for their records.